At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what up? Welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Bull. Look, we've had some incredible, incredible guests so far. If you missed Amir Abdulrahim, head coach of Kennesaw State the night before they lost to Xavier, he was amazing. I mean, he gave us like an hour and a half of his time the night before the game. We just chopped it up, had a great talk. Joe Gallo, head coach of Merrimack, who, of course, actually won the NEC and won the NEC tournament, but was not eligible. FDU, obviously, their run came to an end in the second round. But I asked him, hey, don't you think that should have been you? We went through the whole Merrimack thing. It was really cool. That's available. Should be in your queue if you haven't downloaded it. Listen to it. The team of the weekend with FDU out is Princeton. They're still playing. They're going to be in the Sweet 16. And I was really fortunate. I get to coach Maccabi Games team. Which is the Jewish Olympics. It was in Israel. I've done it twice as the head coach. I've done it twice as a player. And this past summer, my MVP was Blake Peters. Blake plays for Princeton. He and Sam Silverstein were my two best players. Sam plays for Harvard. They're close friends. They grew up playing with and against each other in the city of Chicago. Blake, over the weekend, had 17 points in 15 minutes for Princeton, coming off the bench, and, of course, had a very memorable TV interview afterwards. So I'll do another pod probably tomorrow. We'll catch up on everything over the weekend, but I thought you'd enjoy. We had a conversation on Sunday night. He had just gotten back. He's got class. We're dropping this on Monday. So as this drops, he's in class. We got his class schedule and everything else. Thought you'd enjoy it. Here's Princeton star Blake Peters. Normally, like what I like to do is I like to do the chronological thing. Okay. But in this particular case, you know, just fresh out of your mind, which game, if you like close your eyes, is the Missouri game? Obviously, you played better. Which game felt bigger to you guys or to you personally?
I think the Missouri game felt bigger, but the Arizona game was kind of an out-of-body experience in that we finally realized we had arrived. After what we had gone through last year, you always hope that you can reach the ultimate goal, and for us that's always the tournament. But I don't think it hit us till we finally walked on the court that we were really there, and you know, we were all the way across the country, but it felt like we were right in Jadwin. Great crowds, both games. But I think the beauty of it, too, was it felt like 90% of the arena in both games was on our side. UCLA and Northwestern fans both cheering for us. In Ivy League, we play in front of 2,000, 3,000 people. You know, have 15,000, 16,000 people screaming for you. So the Missouri game was the proof that the Arizona game wasn't a fluke. You know what I mean?
All right. No, that's what I thought. That's why I asked the question. It's interesting because I'm sitting here and I'm like, are they going to play you in the Missouri game? And you barely got in the first half. How come?
I don't know. I think all season the rotations are a little bit unpredictable. And at first that was a little frustrating for me. Just because I'm, kind of used to knowing how many minutes I'm going to play game to game. In high school, played most every minute. In college, that's not the case. But I think I've developed a pretty good ability to stay locked in. I saw they were playing the zone in the first half, so I figured that we need my shooting in the second half.
You're just like sitting over there, salivating like they're in the zone. They're in the zone. They're in the zone.
Yeah.
What's that like to watch? And you see open shots and know what your role is, and you kind of got to sit there and be patient.
It's it tests you. I'll say that. And I have great teammates in that they're always telling me that, you know, be ready, stay ready, your time's coming. I figured we were kind of struggling a little bit without my shooting there, breaking the zone. So when I got in, I knew what I had to do, and we were kind of going bucket for bucket with Missouri. But once I got my shooting going, Ryan also, I mean, he played fantastic. So me and him got going, Tosin did his thing. It was unstoppable.
Let's go back. So you're in Chicago, and what were your schools?
So the first school that offered me was Wisconsin Milwaukee. I grew up with Patrick Baldwin Jr. We played on the same AAU team, so his dad was always kind of like eyeing me. He was at Northwestern for a while before he was at Milwaukee, and he offered me my junior year. Still remember the day. And I was a good high school player, had performed a lot, but there were a lot of questions about like whether I could, play the point in college, whether that was even something I wanted to do. People were telling me I was too short, but he offered me. I cried, went in the kitchen, like had this great moment with my family just because didn't know that was something that was going to happen for me. But long story short, a lot of local schools, and Dartmouth recruited me the most out of the Ivy League schools, not even Princeton. And then COVID hit, really didn't have anything going for me.
That's your senior year. COVID was during your senior year.
COVID was my junior year.
Okay, so where were you guys done for the year when COVID hit, or were you still playing?
So we were still playing. Actually, Lehigh came to see my last game as a junior, and I got offered from Lehigh in March of 2020, and the world ended 3 days later. Recruiting stopped, basically. Really didn't hear from any schools. I will say Colgate was recruiting me pretty hard.
But hold on, we'll get to all that shit. Okay, this is fascinating to me because this is my COVID story. We're with the Big Ten tournament. I do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Right. So yep. I remember like Monday, I was doing Cowherd at the time. So Cowherd is on a big TV set on the Fox lot. And the way it works is you meet at like 6. I like to meet at 7. He does like 6 a.m. meeting. Like, I don't like, I can't function at 6 in the morning. So we did like a 7 o'clock meeting. And I remember walking out, and there's one guy who's a liaison to the executives. And I said, hey, kind of think we should talk about this COVID thing. He's like, why? I go, well, it's going to affect sports. He's like, nah. He goes, look, people watch, they want sports opinion about sports stories. They don't want a story about, some strain of a flu that can kill you.
Right.
Like that's where you go to news channels for. I was like, I understand, but at some point it's going to affect sports. And he's like, well, when that day comes, we'll get to it. I go, okay. So that was like Monday. Then like Tuesday, we had like the same discussion. I was like, this thing is bad. And Tuesday night was the night that I believe that, what's his name? The French dude with the jail, Rudy Gobert.
Gobert, yeah.
Right. Remember that's when he got COVID.
Right.
And he, he touched the microphone, all that stuff, and they canceled the Oklahoma City game. So yep. Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday. Yeah. I'm like driving to the airport to fly to the Big Ten tournament. And, I get a text, turn around. So of course my dumbass, I'm driving the car. I look down at my phone, says turn around. I turn around. I thought the person, my boss who was texting me, was actually behind me. That's what I really thought.
Yeah.
So to just take me through, if you can rack your memory, you're a junior in high school, you're still playing, Like, how did you find out that they canceled stuff?
So I think we played our last game Tuesday, and we would have had the sectional championship on Friday, and that basically is the that's the Sweet 16. It's the sectional championship.
Is that downstate?
No, not downstate yet. We have to win the sectional championship and then the super sectional, and then you go downstate. So we have two more games to go. And Friday morning, we came in for film, and that's when the Illinois High School Association canceled the tournament. Just canceled it.
So, I mean, you were pissed?
Yeah. We were pissed. I mean, that's ironically, it's the one time, like, when the season ended, none of us cried because we were like, well, I mean, it's not like we did anything wrong. We couldn't control the outcome. This is bigger than us. And I wasn't a senior, so I still had one more year. Figured it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Right.
Obviously, I was wrong. But
so, what did you do for basketball?
So the Owls
worked down the driveway. A lot of two ball dribble every day. My dad bought a hoop off Amazon. And we installed it. Terrible hoop, but thankfully I had a park across the street. Lived next to the school. Full court, double rims, shot out there every day. And then eventually got to the point where the city actually put lids on the rims. I couldn't shoot. And at that point, somehow I managed to get into a gym through one of my good friends plays at Southern Illinois. And one of his coaches like finessed our way into a gym and we had access to that. But only for like an hour. It is called the Athletico Center. It's in Northbrook, Illinois, kind of like, not really, I don't know if you ever heard of Joy the Game, but, it's like kind of in that area.
So then what did you guys do spring and summer? Cause at the youth level in California, we played in like the most random spots ever, right? You had to find some back alley gym to play in. And, you know, it was very, very dicey, but we played in the back of a warehouse one time. We played in random spots. This is your junior summer. This is the big AAU summer. What'd you do?
So my trainer, Stacy Marini, he's pretty well connected with a lot of Northwestern players, Derek Pardon, AJ Turner, a lot of Evanston guys as well. I don't know if you remember Nigel Eastern, he went to Purdue. Elijah Williams, FDU guy, ended up going Northwestern, but all these older guys, I was able to work out with. And, we went to that gym, played a lot of 3-on-3, 4-on-4. And that whole summer we just worked out together. And that was really good for me because they act like my big brothers. Like they were the first ones to coach me, always pushing me. Still keep in touch with a lot of them to this day. And, you know, when I go home in the summer, those are the people I still work out with. So that was kind of the main group. I didn't do any AAU because I committed to Princeton in June of 2020. So I think I might have played in one AAU tournament, but I really didn't want to.
So then what was your senior year like in terms with COVID and all that stuff?
Senior year, season got postponed till February. Started in February. We lucked out. We didn't have a COVID outbreak. Ended up playing 20 games. I had a great senior year, averaged 16, became my high school's all-time leading scorer. There was no state playoff, but there was a Chicago playoff organized. It was called the Chipotle Classic. We ended up getting to the championship of that and losing to Ty Johnson and DePaul Prep. And Ty's now at UC Davis, doing pretty well.
So if you won, did you get like free Chipotle for a year?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that.
So then you show up to Princeton summer?
Show up to Princeton August 2021.
Okay. And now they hadn't had a season. So you got dudes that had not, it's like you're new to college, but you had another whole group of freshmen that hadn't actually played basketball for a year. Right. Anybody who was returning hadn't been together as a team for the year. What you show up, what was the first workouts like considering how little some other guys were able to do together for such a long period of time.
So it's weird as a freshman because you walk in and you're like supposed to be best friends with all these people, but you're not. And you're kind of slowly starting to learn like what everyone's like, and like the little things they do that annoy you, or actually little things they do that you actually like, and you start gravitating towards them. So thankfully, I had a really, really great senior class. Those guys had a big impact on me, like Ethan Wright, who transferred to Colorado, one of my favorite players of all time. He's someone I guarded every day in practice. He's someone I could talk big shit to, and he would come right back at it with me. Jalen Llewellyn, same thing. Class act, all of them. But initially, like, I kind of came in thinking that I was going to play and have a big role on the team because I had a successful high school career. Didn't think it would be that hard in college to perform as a freshman. But, like, that fall, I'd have practices, and I'd leave the practices thinking, like, I don't know if I just did good, bad. And it's admittedly, it's also a little hard to read Coach Henderson at times. So you're questioning like what he thinks about you. And, you know, obviously he cares a little bit more about his point guard and his star players than the incoming freshman, just because he's been with the seniors and juniors longer. But it was an interesting year, but I'm glad that like the group was so tight, and that's kind of, through all the dark times, that's kind of how all of us freshmen really got through it.
Why did you guys come up short?
I think all season the goal was always the tournament, and it was something that we talked about every single day. But when we finally got to the last game against Yale, we neglected the tiniest details of the scout report, and it ended up hurting us. Like I still remember, and Jalen's a great player, had a huge game, brought us back. But I still remember Bez Mbang had the ball at the top of the key, and he's not a great shooter, but he can make an open shot. He was dribbling the ball. Jalen was kind of standing there, didn't have his hands up. Bez rose up, you know, switched to three. But the scout says, okay, we need to have our hands up. So we just weren't doing the little things like that right. And I think we got away from what we had been all season. Tosin was player of the year. I think we got away from kind of letting him do his thing and playing off him. We got a little one-on-one oriented, but, you know, we lost that game. And I think after that, it was over. You know, we weren't winning that NIT game. So
obviously, you know, we got a chance to travel together this summer. That's not a normal summer, right? It's not a normal summer. What's a normal summer for an Ivy League kid? Like you guys don't do summer school. You don't stay around in the summer, right?
No. Normal summer would be, depends. So most of the non-athletes get a, you know, internship. There've been a lot of jokes in the media recently about, you know, our team being full of finance majors. And, you know, the reality is, yeah, a lot of people in the summer go get, you know, investment banking internships or consulting internships, and athletes, not athletes, like they all do that. But some people, like some of my teammates last summer, stayed on campus and worked. And because they were on campus, they got to, you know, lift in the weight room and use the gym and work out. But last summer was weird for me because, yeah, we did the Israel in July. So I wanted to do an internship, but I had to kind of find something that would fit my time schedule. So literally school ended May 12th for me, and I went home for 3 days, and then I came right back to New York City, worked for 7 weeks before going to Israel.
What'd you do?
I worked for Tiger Risk Partners, a reinsurance broker. So it was fun.
So where'd you stay in the city?
I stayed in Midtown East. I stayed at a really cheap extended stay hotel by myself, and taught me a lot about budgeting, and you know, playing adult for a couple of weeks was fun.
How'd you get shots up? How'd you work out?
So I'd wake up every morning around like 5:15, 5:20, take the subway up to Equinox. My mom works at Equinox, so she got me a discount membership there. And this one was, so I lived on 31st. The Equinox was on 63rd.
I know that's the good one, right?
Yeah. It's pretty good Equinox. So I, you know, took the subway. It took 20 minutes, walked to Equinox. Would work out basketball for an hour and a half. You know, shower, get breakfast, walk to work. And then after work, 3 days a week, sometimes twice, I'd go back to Equinox and lift weights. And then I'd, you know, go back to my hotel and kind of do that whole thing over again.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Okay. And then, of course, we did Israel, and you're awesome. And
you got to
get plenty of hoop in. Yep. What did you think your role was going to be when you got back to campus?
I thought I was preparing over the summer to start. That was my goal in my exit meeting with Coach Henderson last summer. That was something that I told him I wanted to work towards, and we had a conversation about what I needed to do to get there. And I mean, honestly, the first month and a half of practice, I was doing everything that I said I would to earn a starting job. Now, what happened was I didn't realize Caden Pierce was gonna be such a good player. I mean, he does things that I just, you know, I can't do. And so he brings something else to the table for us. But I thought I would get starter minutes, and that hasn't panned out. And that's a little disappointing. But at the same time, like, playing a great team, I think I play my role to, you know, near perfection at times. But
So you start the season, okay? You start the season, and you guys didn't start off great,
no.
Right? Like, you lose the Hofstra, you lose the Navy.
Yeah.
What was going on? What was going on at the start of the year?
I don't know. I don't know if it was our youth, because you had me playing, who didn't get a lot of minutes as a freshman. You had Matt Alaco, our starting point guard. He was now shifting into a new role. Tosan was coming off shoulder surgery. So it was with all these different things, and we were still trying to figure out how to play together. And admittedly, like, we weren't paying attention to the scout report. We were kind of all over the place. And we had a meeting after the Navy game, before the Navy Notre Dame football game that we were going to. And it was a really detailed film session. We went over the scout report and okay, you know, he drives left. Well, why didn't you know that? Why did you close out? Like, he's a shooter. You forced him to his left hand. So it's, you know, we kind of went through all that stuff. And I think gradually as the season went on, the youth just, you know, shackled right off us. We matured real quick. So
what happened in New Haven? First time you played Yale, what happened?
It was a close game for a while. I think we went into half with a lead. It wasn't a big lead, but I mean, we didn't prepare enough for actually one of my good friends, John Paul Kiedis. He's one of the best shooters from Chicago. I was guarding him, didn't do a great job on him. Really let him get to his spots. He dictated everything that game, and he got hot, and they had the crowd behind them, and I think we just gave up.
Yeah, I mean, you go from up one at the half.
Yeah.
To losing by 22. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so fast forward to you're getting ready for the Ivy League tournament, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even though you guys split, technically they should have gotten a home game, but it's pre-scheduled to be at Jaguars.
Right.
How important do you think that was?
It was important, but I don't know how much home court advantage dictates the outcome in that situation, because Yale loves our gym. They shoot great in our gym, and they didn't have as many fans as we did, but they had a lot of fans there too. And I think the biggest thing was after the first time we played Yale, coach called me out. He called a couple of our freshmen out saying, you give us 15 on offense, but you're good for 20, 22 on defense. And, I kind of like getting yelled at, because my freshman year, I didn't get yelled at. So it's like, well, he
it means you matter.
Now,
it means you matter. Like, yes,
exactly. Yeah. Now he cares. So I think we all kind of took that personally. And once again, we have a great senior class. Like there was no way we were losing that game on our home floor. Yeah, we won.
But you lost him again at home.
Yeah,
right, in regular season in OT. You had a big lead. You lose that lead. Yeah. So you're getting ready for the Ivy League championship game. It's against Yale, who's beaten you twice. It's against Yale, who beat you last year in the championship game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then there's all the pressure of, like you said, like trying to, what is that like to prepare for a game where your whole season comes down to this one game?
Well, it's stressful. Most stressful thing ever. That's why I'll never get into coaching, especially in Ivy League. Like, the good thing is you're always kind of two wins away from the NCAA tournament, but then again, you could be the first, like, beat us twice in regular season, but we win one game and we go to the NCAA tournament. Like, is that fair? I don't know. But that's just the way things are. I think, we jumped out to a 13-0 lead, I want to say. Something crazy like that. Like, they didn't score for a good 3-4 minutes. But from the opening tip, you could see in everyone's eyes, it was a wrap. I mean, there was literally no way we were losing.
So you win, and now you have to wait, and you see Arizona. And you're a 15 seed, by the way. Right?
Yeah.
What was the – forget with the TV cameras. What was the honest reaction when you guys saw that?
I'm unfamiliar with Arizona. Like, during the season, I only watch Ivy League basketball. I'll watch my friends who play on other mid-major teams. I don't watch the Pac-12. They're, I'm asleep when their games are going on. So I didn't know much about them. I know they're well coached. No, they had two really big guys, and I figured that'd be a problem for us. But in the moment, we were just so excited to even like see our school up there. Like, that's what we've been working for all season. And, I don't know how, but me and my sophomore teammate, Darius Kwakwasi, like, we always talk about, we have this gut feeling before games sometimes. Like, we have a gut thing we're going to win, a gut thing we're going to lose. And we just had this gut feeling like we were not going to lose. I don't know what it was, but I swear to God, this was not a LeBron moment where I'm like, I predicted he was going to score 81. Like, no. For whatever reason, just seemed like we were going to win.
When your coaches prepare the tape, right? Did it make it seem like, holy fuck, these guys are good? Or did they prepare it so it made you think you had a chance?
They don't hype anyone up. They're like, Tabellus, what was he, second team All-American? Didn't even mention it. Just, Tabellus, loves to spin back left, likes the mid-range pull-up, but accolades, they don't mention it. When we played Missouri, Kobe Brown, like, obviously he's a great player, but we didn't hype him up at all. It's not, like, I think that's good on the coaches. Like, we shouldn't be in awe of our opponent. I mean, we respect them, but they're human.
You get out there and you have practice in the arena. Now, you guys have played in nice arenas before, but you're playing the Kings arena, right? Kind of starts to sort of starts to set in. What'd it feel like?
It's weird because like a moment like that is something you talk about at like the middle school lunch table with your friends. Like, yeah, one day I'm gonna be on that big stage, and you know, you all kind of laugh about it, and in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, that's probably not gonna happen. But then again, there's always a chance it'll happen. So it's just like, once you get out there, you're just thinking back on how far you've come and how much you've sacrificed to get to that point. And yeah, we've played in some nice arenas, but I mean, nothing that arena is brand new. It's awesome. And I don't know what it was, but like when we were on the court, it just felt like the whole world was on our side. I don't know if it was, you know, we had a nice Princeton contingency on one side and also behind our bench. So it was just, out of body experience.
Okay. I know you had the gut feel that you were going to win, but when you're watching that game, you're sitting there, you're on the bench. When did you think, oh, we got these guys?
I thought we were down 12, cut it to 6.
What did you do to cut the lead? What changed?
So we were turning the ball over. Our goal was to turn it over no more than 8 times. I think we ended up turning it over 9 or 10 times. One of them was on me. Worst pass I've ever thrown in my life. But so we were turning it over and we were getting good shots. They just weren't going in. Like we shot.
You were not making, it's hashtag make shots and you were hashtag not making shots.
Yeah, no. 4 for 25. Like, I don't know what it was, but we were missing great shots. They were getting layups. Okay, cool. Timeout. Like coach is great because he's a really calming influence on us. Like, okay, just, you know, breathe, take a breath. Let's just get back to doing us. So. I don't know how exactly we got back to 6, but all I remember is Zach Martini shoots, misses a 3, Cade Pierce gets the rebound. I was at half court as soon as I saw him get the rebound. I sprinted back up to the 3-point line, had the shot fake, 1 dribble 3, cut it to 3, it was over.
That was it. What's that feeling like?
That's my favorite shot ever that I've ever shot. That's just, and I don't react usually when I make a shot, but in that moment, it was hard not to. I mean, it's just awesome. You know, you're playing against the number 8 team in the country. Millions of people watching. I mean, that's amazing stuff.
So you win. Okay. Yep. You douse them with water or whatever. Okay. How hard is it to sleep that night after beating Arizona?
Didn't sleep. Actually, didn't even sleep before Missouri. I fell asleep at, checked my phone. I couldn't fall asleep. It was 1 a.m. I probably fell asleep around 2. And I woke up at 8. So, yeah, didn't sleep. Just, I don't know if it's from looking at your phone and like all the congratulations texts coming in or just like you're just amped up, just ready to go. Just a lot of excitement, yeah. I didn't sleep. I know some other guys didn't sleep. I bought some melatonin today, so I'm gonna get back to sleeping this week.
I think about melatonin, you kind of like feel groggy when you wake up.
Yeah,
like, I don't feel.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it, but I need to sleep. I didn't sleep last night either.
So when you woke up the day of the Missouri game, did you have the good gut feeling? Or did you have the bad gut feeling?
And Missouri is a great team, very well coached. I told this, no disrespect to Missouri. I told our assistant coach, I told Sky when we were at the gym shooting around, I said, Sky, we're going to beat them by 20. He said, I don't know. That's a little aggressive. That's a direct quote from Sky. He said, I don't know. That's a little aggressive. He said, watch, we're going to beat them by 20. And sure enough, I mean, we basically beat them by 20. It was, you know, they kept fouling and trading bucks with us at the end, but. Had that gut feeling. I still do.
So like I said, now we get back to the game. Okay. And you know, you guys are playing well in the first half, making more shots. You're not playing. How do you do that? Right. Like, look, I wasn't a good shooter in college. Okay. But I could really pass. But the difference is you always have the ball in your hands when you're a point guard. You're always passing the ball. So there's a volume of passes. So it's not like you have to like warm up for passing.
Yeah.
How do you sit there? And he checks you in and you're open. And you freaking make it. Like what, how do you contain the energy and be ready so that you barely play the first half? You get some shots at halftime, not a ton, right? Probably get like five, six looks at halftime. And then you check in there and go, like, how do you maintain kind of your poise, your energy, your balance so that you're making them?
So I'll come in and shoot a couple times a week before practice. And I won't warm up. I won't do anything. I'll just get right into the workout with Sky because that's kind of how the game is. Like, I just, you know, I don't know when I'm coming in. Sometimes it's after the first media, sometimes after the second. Like, I just don't know. And I'm probably, by then, I'm not warm. So I think just like getting reps when you're cold and then you immediately have to, you know, make three in a row from a spot or, you know, run off this pin down, make a shot like that, that helps. And I've been doing that all season. So I think that's kind of helped a little bit, but I don't know. We're a very mature team. So we're just, you know, all present, all locked in on the moment. And when you get in, you just let it fly.
Okay. You know, you almost got pulled there early in the second half, right? Like when you came in, you had you were open, but the pass was just off. You caught it, you're trapped, and you kind of threw one off. And I saw I saw Mitch kind of spin around like he was gonna pull you.
Yeah, he almost Tosan was coming in, and our assistant Brett McConnell, he came over and he was like, "All right, Tosan's either getting maybe it was Cade. I think it was Tosan. It said, Tosan's either getting Cade or Blake." And I was like, really? Like, I just got in. You know, I only got like 30 seconds out there. But thankfully, coach said, Blake, yeah, you stay. I was like, okay, cool. So that when he said that, that kind of gave me confidence that I had at least a couple more minutes to make an impact out there.
The only thing you didn't make was the heat check one. The heat check one was...
I wanted that one so bad. I got to stop. Like sometimes if I make two in a row on the third one, I get a little bit away from the mechanics and I'll like kind of like Steph Curry it and just like flick my wrist and not hold the fall through, start running back. Yeah. I gotta
stop doing. Okay. So what are your mechanics? What are the thoughts in your mind when you get the ball?
So I used to, like I was always taught, you know, left foot in front, always step in with your right foot, but you know, in college, that's just, you can't do that every time. So now I'm kind of, I got this hop more where I catch it on 2 feet. That way I have both my feet if I want to pivot. But you know, catch the ball immediately, find the seams. And I'm not bringing it down as much either. Like I used to bring the ball down, but now it's just, you know, catch, rise up, shoot. I find that like the quicker the release, less time you have to think, the more it goes in.
Do you watch the fall flight or do you watch the hoop?
Watch the hoop. Yeah. I've never met someone that watches the ball flight that was a good shooter.
There you go. We've identified my problem 20 years later. So the buzzer sounds, right? And they grab you to do a TV interview. How much shit have your boys given you for your TV interview?
They actually liked it. It's the internet where there's mixed responses. And full disclosure, like, I wasn't thinking about KG. That's the last thing I was thinking about. I'm just like I'm just thinking about life. Like, what a beautiful thing this is. You know, it's just, you know, I'm not thinking about KG. So I go up there. I thought they were going to ask Ryan. So they asked me. I'm like, oh, okay. Sure. Let's do this. You know, it's just, once again, one of those things where it's like, you know, this can't be real. Like, get interviewed on TNT, got Ernie Johnson saying, it's like, you know, this is crazy.
For people who don't know the story, okay, we get to Israel, and I was kicking your guys' ass a little bit with practice. And who caught you with an elbow the morning of the Israel game?
Braley.
Okay. Brayley Alpert, who played at Tulane this year.
Yep.
Right. So Brayley catches you with an elbow and your tooth was loose. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Just one or two teeth.
One tooth was chipped. The other was dented in my mouth. Like diagonally.
So we had to go. So we're playing the Israeli under 20 national team. They had won the Euro Cup the year before. We're all fired up. Right. And all of a sudden now, like, fuck, you get hit in the mouth. And you were, but you, what were you most pissed about?
I was mad because we were in Israel. First of all, like, it's not like I can just go to my dentist and they'll fix it. That's the first thing I was mad about. The other thing I was mad about was like, well, I'm supposed to be here taking pictures of me. Like, this is supposed to be a once a lifetime experience. Now all the pictures I'm going to have, like, you know, one dented tooth and one chipped tooth. Like, this is ridiculous. And on top of that, it did, like, it hurt. There's just no way around it.
Like, you couldn't figure out. I mean, we knew you were pissed. I didn't know if you're pissed at him. I don't know if you're pissed at me because we were kind of going live on some stuff. Like, I didn't know if you're pissed at, you were just pissed. And I was like, dude, he's fucking hot.
Yeah, I was.
And I thought you were going to have to lose the tooth.
Yeah, that's the other thing I was worried about because it was loose. Like, it wasn't. I legit thought.
So we go to this hospital for anybody who's been injured in any of the Palestinian conflict or any of the wars, right? We go and we do wheelchair. You went to a dentist instead, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what is it? What is the experience like for an American overseas college kid in Israel? Like, what was the experience like?
The overall experience or the dentist experience?
The dentist experience.
The dentist experience. Wow. Yes. So I'm with this guy, my assistant for Maccabi and also Princeton. And he obviously doesn't speak Hebrew. I don't speak Hebrew. They just, gave us an Uber, told us where to go. We walk in there and we're not wearing masks. Like, we're supposed to be wearing masks. The lady's like looking at us confused. Sky's like walking up to the front desk. Yeah, they just sent us here. They called. We're with Maccabi. The lady's looking at us like she has no idea what we're talking about. So thankfully, one of them speaks English. And she helps us and whatever. They sit me down in a chair. And the dentist walks in. And he just looks at my tooth. And he goes, oh. And then he just rips it back into place. So it was diagonal, and then he yanked it forward. No warning, no nothing. Blood spewing out of my mouth. Like, even Sky was like, oh, like, God. You know, because he's in there with me. Like, he's living this experience with me. So, and the dentist doesn't really speak English either. But he wants us to take an x-ray. And so we have to go across the street to take an x-ray. We get to the x-ray place. The x-ray machine doesn't work. You know, my mouth is still bleeding. It's just a bad situation. So Sky and I end up going to a pharmacy to get medicine for me. That takes 2 hours. Like, the healthcare system in Israel is public and it's all free. But obviously we're not Israeli citizens. We don't have that benefit. So it was just Sky and I kind of bonding in a random pharmacy. And like, this is all the first time I'm with Sky, like just me and him. He was my assistant for a full year, but once again, I didn't really work out with Sky my freshman year. I worked out with another assistant a little more. So it was cool. Like, we were just kind of going around Tel Aviv and, just learning more about each other. So that was cool. But I never want to have another experience like that.
And then, so then we play Israel that night, that afternoon. Right. And we're all tired. You had your mouth all messed up. And, they're saying, like, you shouldn't play. Like, oh, didn't they say you're supposed to wear, like, a mouth guard or something like that?
Yeah, they wanted me to wear a mouth guard. They wanted me to, take a couple of days off, just in case you get hit in the mouth again. Because if you get hit in the mouth again, like, the tooth is realistically coming out. But, no, I mean, I figured the Israel game, the team we were playing, was going to be the most competitive, most fun game, even though it wasn't actually part of the Maccabi games. So I was like, I mean, I'm not missing that. I needed to play for one.
Did you have six threes? I can't remember. You had six or seven.
I had I
remember we threw it up. We broke the press and we threw it up to you. And I told you, like, shoot that shit when they throw it up to you. And you, and the first two times you caught it, you did.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, yeah, I had seven threes in the game against Israel in the actual Maccabi game.
Right. Yes.
I think I only had four in the scrimmage, but I also, I don't know if you remember, I had that nice, you know, transition, got in my bag a little bit with the Euro. Remember that?
Yeah. Which I didn't know you had in you. I was like, yeah, who,
exactly.
Who is that? What would you guys give him when he went and got the medicine? Right.
You know, I got a little something to me on occasion.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
So now you guys are back. Okay. Now you're back. But you guys have school. Right? So Princeton, right. Do you have any online classes?
No.
Do you actually have to go to school tomorrow?
Yeah, I have an interview at 9:25 with a Chicago radio station, and then I have Chinese at 10. I have politics and religion at 11. I have a class about Jesus at 12:30. Then I have a smaller classroom session at 2:30.
Okay, wait. So the Mandarin thing. So how long have you spoke Mandarin?
So I took it when I was really young. My dad speaks it. So I started taking lessons in kindergarten, probably up until second grade. Quit, took it back up at high school, took it all 4 years of high school. And then, this is my second year in college. So, I guess all in all, probably about 8-9 years.
How good is your Mandarin?
I would say if you drop me off in China, I could get my way around. I probably wouldn't understand every single word they're saying, and they speak really fast too. So it'd take me a couple weeks to get used to it, but I wouldn't be like a deer in headlights, like not knowing what's going on.
How fast is the processing English? Because you're thinking in English, right? And then you back to to Mandarin. How fast is that processing when all of a sudden you do the switch?
I find that like when I get back from summer break, like the first couple of weeks of class is hard because I haven't heard it all summer. But like this time, like it's pretty easy because I've been in school now for, you know, 6-7 months. So it's definitely easier. But like when we have 2-3 week breaks, when we have winter break, like it takes another week or two to really get acclimated again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The politics class, what are you guys studying in politics?
So it's a politics and religion class. I'm taking it only because it's a distribution requirement. It's a I think it's an EC, epistemology and cognition. So it's a political theory class.
Okay, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I,
okay.
It's basically about like so kind of just how like politics and religion interact.
And then that feeds into the class about Jesus or a different class about Jesus?
No, different class. Different class. The Jesus class is all about Jesus. Just kind of, it's Jesus, how Christianity began is the name of it.
Interesting.
I think it's really interesting. Like, I don't have any, like, I hadn't read the Christian Bible before this year. Like, it's like in literature, it's the most cited book, you know, like, a lot of biblical references in Shakespeare. I took a Shakespeare class last semester. And just, you know, it's like cool kind of seeing, cause Jesus was Jewish. So, you know, I'm kind of learning about someone who was Jewish, and it's a Jewish story, although Jews don't really, you know, believe that he was Messiah or whatnot, but it's an interesting class.
The Blake Peters, 15 years after graduation, is doing what?
15 years after graduation.
Because I know you want to play. Obviously, you're going to be able to play, right? Especially playing Israel, yeah. Other countries as well. But 15 years after graduation, what are you doing?
This is just there's so many things I want to do in life. Like I don't want to be.
Give me three of them.
Give me three of them. Okay, I want to be a diplomat at some point. Always wanted to serve this country in some regard. And like I used to want to be attorney general, but I don't really want to go into law. So I think the State Department is a little more suited for me, a little more personal. I've been.
What about like CIA, dude? You could like totally be, you could be a CIA, and like you'd be a spy, but you could like, you'd probably be a ringer on the CIA basketball teams as well.
Too high stakes. And I feel like you got to. I mean, I couldn't be Blake Peters anymore. I'd probably have a different name and. It's
you can be Russell. People don't know your name's okay. Russell.
Yeah, they don't. Right? That's true. I could be Russell. Although it's funny, all my teammates call me Russ. Like I don't go by Blake. I never hear Blake in the locker room. It's Russ.
What would it mean to go to the Final Four?
It's crazy even thinking about it. I mean, I was talking to my dad today. He's like, you know, you're two games away from the Final Four. Like that's, I mean. You can imagine, like I can, my younger self imagine going to the tournament, but never going to the Final Four. Like that's just unheard of. And for where I come from, like the environment I grew up in, like it's amazing I'm even here in this position right now. So they're going to a Final Four. That's like, I don't know. That's just legendary stuff.
Coolest place to play in the Ivy League outside of home.
Penn.
Why? Because of Plestra?
Plestra. Coolest gym in the Ivy League, by far. It's the only Ivy League gym that has an arena feel to it. Like even Jadwin, it's like a semi arena because we have.
It's like a multi-purpose. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not a real arena, but Penn's really cool. I mean, they're a rival, obviously, but always a good crowd there. Like, yeah, really fun to play there.
103 is what's the most you've ever made.
Most I've ever made in a
out of 100.
Out of 100. In high school, we did a drill where I want to say I made between 70 and 80. I can't remember the exact number. But yeah, stand still, catch and shoot it. Well, because we don't, I mean, I don't like, my workouts are so much more tailored now. I mean, I go to the gym. With Sky, and we'll get in like a 20-25 minute workout just with shots. I'll get in the game. Like it's not as rep based anymore. It's more just like, you know, smart hard work. If that makes sense.
Do you? You said you know you're going to win when you wake up in the morning. Do you know you're going to make shots when you wake up in the morning of a game?
No. It's weird. Like I find there's no correlation between like how you're shooting warm ups and how you're shooting the game. Because there are times where I'm feeling great in warm ups and I just can't make a shot to save my life. But there are other times where I'm missing shots and warm-ups, and I get out and basket's the ocean. So it's unpredictable, but I find like if you're more worried about just making plays and being involved in the game and not as worried about making shots, they tend to go in more.
Do you think that Arizona and Missouri respected you guys?
No. Arizona definitely did not. Coaches were laughing at us when we were warming up. Which, you know, understandable. We're a bunch of nerds. Finance bros is what they said. And you know what? That's fine.
Who called you finance bros?
Well, I mean, that's what the internet was saying. You know, we were actually, we saw a clip of Jimmy Fallon, I think it was. He was, you know, going on and on about how Princeton's playing Arizona. And, like, you know, Princeton players are wondering, do you even yacht in Arizona? Or, like, you know. Is your dad a hedge fund manager? Like that's, you know, that's just not, it's stereotypical of like Ivy League, but that's just not any of the guys on our team. Like that's not who we are. We're normal kids that we're smart, but we, you know, we play basketball too. So it's funny.
Isn't that the best though, right? When they're sitting there, they're looking at you, looking down there, no names in the back of your shirts.
Yeah.
You guys are shooting, pivoting warmups, and then next thing you know, you got more points than they do, and the buzzer sounds, and they're going home. That's the greatest shit ever.
That's March, that's microcosm of March, but we're used to it, but at the same time, we can't schedule high major games, so somehow, on the low, we get respect from all these teams, but yeah, come March, it's like, yeah, we'll beat Princeton, we'll beat the 16 seed FDU, we'll beat so-and-so.
Coolest person or most interesting text you got after Saturday's game?
Man, I got a lot of great texts, a lot of my friends from elementary school, middle school, people I haven't spoken to in a while. I'll say the coolest was a guy, Austin Brown. You ever heard of him? He's the NBA agent, went to my high school 20 years before me, and he's Dwayne Wade's agent. He's got a lot of big clients. Always been a fan of mine. Like, came to a lot of my high school games. So like knowing that he's watching is really cool. But honestly, just the fact that I grew up in Highland Park, which is way north. Went to high school in Evanston, closer to the city. But just the fact that that whole area of the North Shore, tons of people just have been reaching out, and the fact that that whole area is kind of behind Princeton and me is, more than anything, brings me so much joy.
All right, man. Well, listen, here's this. This is going to be good luck. So then next week, we're going to do the same thing as you get ready for the Final Four.
Sounds like a plan. I got a gut feeling. I promise.
You do? You have a gut feeling already?
I have a gut feeling we are going to make it there.
Wow. Okay. So that's breaking news. You got a gut feeling. Well, your gut feeling's been good so far. Hey, man, I'm so proud for you. I mean, it's just, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Stop throwing balls in the stands and you'll be good. Just a little retreat dribble. Get it out of the move. Get it back. Get to that shot, fake one dribble. We know what happens next, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Love you, bro. I'm really happy.
Much love. Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Oh, my thanks to Blake. That was really cool. We hope he got a good night's sleep, maybe a couple good night's sleeps before getting back on the road, getting to Sweet 16. And you heard it here first. He's got a good feeling. He's got a good feeling. What a cool event this thing is, right? You get to know people like this, people like Amir Abdulrahim, people like Joe Gallo. We'll have more for you throughout the week. I remember the Doug Gottlieb Show is daily 3 to 5 Eastern time or 12 to 2 Pacific. Plus, we got the In the Bonus podcast, which is like especially a radio show where we can curse and say whatever the fuck we want. Doesn't really matter, which is kind of like what we do here, only we love to tell people stories on All Ball. So my thanks to Blake for doing that. Best of luck to the Princeton Tigers. And I'm glad you downloaded, subscribed, rated. Make sure you write a review if you like it. If you don't like it, you can write a review too. But if you write a review, it's even better, especially because Blake was really good, wasn't he? Thanks for listening. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.